What is up, y'all? Welcome back. I appreciate you tuning in yet again, wherever you are, whether it's in the car, at your house, at your job, putting in that overnight shift, wherever you are, I appreciate you tuning in for another episode. And I just wanted to talk to you guys about what has been on my mind lately. I've been in this headspace regarding covetousness or not coveting and like being discontent and how sometimes you have desires or Yah gives you a desire. And oftentimes that desire, well, maybe I shouldn't say oftentimes, but sometimes that desire can go unfulfilled. And it's not because he is not going to fulfill it. It's just because it's not the time. But that doesn't make things easier, you know. It doesn't make things easier at all. And sometimes it can feel like torture, to be honest with you. And I wanted to talk about challenging ourselves to die to our desires. The question I pose to myself and to you guys listening is, do you have faith in the promise or our Messiah? We should die to our desires as an act of faith in Yahusha. We will have desires that we feel Yahuwah is taking his time in fulfilling. Sometimes it can feel like torture because he placed a desire on the inside of us. These desires are going unmet, so we feel that we are just being led on. Our emotions can be all over the place, and we start to lose faith in Yahuwah. And then I wrote in my notes, you know, he puts a desire in us to lead us back to him. Okay, so think about it this way. Ooh, this is real good. Think about it this way. When the Messiah came in the flesh, died for our sins, resurrected on the third day, and ascended back into heaven, what did he give us? Like, what did he leave us with? He left us with his Ruach, the Holy Spirit, right? Why did he leave us the Holy Spirit? And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit is used as a guide to lead us back to him, right? The Holy Spirit isn't here to lead us astray. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us back to him. It's almost like it kind of reminds me of labeling what is yours. That's a good example. Labeling what is yours. Sometimes people use those, you know, little Apple AirTag things to put on their suitcases. Or sometimes people just put like certain type of string or ribbon around their suitcase to say, okay, to identify the suitcase, this is my suitcase, so it doesn't get mixed up. But the point is that the Holy Spirit was given to us to lead us back to him. You should feel the same way in regards to desires. Yahuwah is not going to put a desire in you to lead you away from him. If you ever feel that a desire you have on inside of you, and you know that it was Yah who gave you that desire, and that desire is leading you away from him, that is Satan trying to distract you, frustrate you, or it just might be time for you to self-reflect and say, am I being impatient? Am I trying to force my will? You know, that'll be the perfect time for a self-reflection. So I just wanted to mention that when he gives us a desire, that desire is used to lead us back to him. And he wants us to press into him and believe in him, not our desires. I want to mention this. Your desires should never be what you put your trust and your faith in. Your faith should always be in the Messiah, right? So you have your desire and then you have Yah. Your faith is always and should always be in him, not that desire. And here's why. If your faith is in him, and that desire that you have doesn't get fulfilled, why do you lose your faith? Think about that for a second. If your faith is in him, but the desire you have doesn't get fulfilled, why do you lose your faith? A lot of people lose their faith because their desire doesn't get fulfilled, but your faith should have never been in your desire. So if your desire dies, your faith shouldn't. And this actually leads me into what I want to discuss today. There are instances in the Bible where people showed that they had more faith in Yahuwah than the promise, i.e. the desire. And we need to get to that place as believers. We need to get to the place where we have more faith in Yahuwah than the promise. We need to get to the place where we are able to allow that desire to die, but we keep our faith. So I wanted to use an example, maybe two examples. I don't know, depending on how long this example is going to be. I wanted to use an example in the Sefer, actually. And for those of y'all who don't know what the Sefer is, it is the Bible with the Apocrypha, you know, like the missing books in it. If you want to get the Sefer, go on sefer.net, sepher.net, and order the Sefer. Order the whole thing with the tabs in it and anything. Trust me, you won't regret it. But I'm going to be working out of the Sefer, out of the book of Jasher, right? And this is when Abraham was commanded by Yah to take Isaac as a sacrifice. So I wanted to talk about that. Oh, and by the way, I'm working out the Sefer, and the Sefer has the Hebrew names in it. So please bear with me, because the Sefer always reminds me that I might not be as advanced in my reading as I think I am. So bear with me. Okay, so the book of Jasher in the Sefer, chapter 22, I'm going to start at verse 46. And the day arrived when the sons of Elohim came and placed themselves before Yahuwah, and Satan also came with the sons of Elohim before Yahuwah. And Yahuwah said unto Satan, whence come you? And Satan answered Yahuwah and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yahuwah said to Satan, what is your word to me concerning all the children of the earth? And Satan answered Yahuwah and said, I have seen all the children of the earth who serve you and remember you when they require anything from you. And when you give them the thing which they require from you, they sit at their ease and forsake you, and they remember you no more. So just a quick little recap before we continue. Satan was going to and from on the earth. And he came to Yah, and he was pretty much telling Yah that, hey, look, your people down there on the earth, when you give them that thing that they want, they forget about you. You don't matter. So this is what Satan is telling Yah to his face. I just wanted to mention that. And you know what this reminds me of? Who also did the same thing? Well, who did Satan do this to? Job. He did the same thing with Job. I just wanted to mention that. So let's continue. Have you seen Abraham, the son of Terah, who at first had no children, and he served you and erected altars to you wherever he came, and he brought up offerings upon them, and he proclaimed your name continually to all the children of the earth. And now that his son, Isaac, is born to him, he has forsaken you. He has made a great feast for all the inhabitants of the land, and Yahuwah he has forgotten. For amidst all that he has done, he brought you no offering, neither ascending smoke offering nor peace offering, neither ox, lamb, nor goat of all that he killed on the day that his son was weaned. Even from the time of his son's birth till now, being 37 years, he built no altar before you, nor brought any offering to you. For he saw that you did give what he requested before you, and he therefore forsook you. So Satan is telling Yah that, look, Abraham, yeah, this faithful servant that you got, yeah, him, when you gave him, when you finally gave him a son, he forsaked you. That's crazy. You finally gave him what he wanted. You finally gave him the promise, gave him the desire that he wanted, and he forgot about you. So that's what Satan is pretty much accusing Abraham of, forgetting about Yah once Yah blessed Abraham. So what does Yah do about that? And Yahuwah said to Satan, "Have you thus considered my servant Abraham? For there is none like him upon earth, a perfect and upright man before me, one that fears Elohim and avoids evil. As I live, were I to say unto him, bring up Yitzhak, your son, before me, he would not withhold him from me. Much more if I told him to bring up an ascending smoke offering before me from his flock or herds." And Satan answered Yahuwah and said, "Speak then now unto Abraham, as you have said, and you will see whether he will not this day transgress and cast aside your words." So just a quick recap. Satan is going to and fro on the earth, and he pulls up to Yah. He says, "Oh, look at all these people. They only like you because you gave them what they wanted. But as soon as they get what they want, they forsake you." Right? And he's also mentioning Abraham. Look at Abraham. He's one of these people I'm talking about. You gave him what he wanted and he forsaked you. And guess what Yahuwah does? He says, "Well, have you considered Abraham? He's upright. Test him and see what he does." Y'all, Satan is accusing Abraham. Satan is bringing accusations against Abraham, but Yah is telling Satan, like, "No, you're wrong. Abraham is innocent, essentially. Abraham is an upright man. If I told him to forsake that desire or to sacrifice that promise that I gave him, he would do it." And Satan was like, "Okay, bet. Then prove it." And I want us to understand that, oh, you know what this reminds me of? In the Bible, I forgot which verse it was called. I forgot which verse, but you know where it says trials. When we go through our trials, hold on, let me see if I could find that. James 1, verse 2 through 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." When the word says, you know, to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, this is why we should do that. This is going on. Satan accusing Abraham of essentially not being faithful or having more faith in the promise than God. Satan is accusing Abraham. This is happening in the spirit realm. Abraham don't know this is going on. Satan is going to Yah, making accusations on Abraham's behalf. But Yah is like, "No, my servant, he's upright and he's innocent." And Satan is like, "Well, no, he's not." So Yah is like, "Okay, well, let's prove it." When you go through trials in life, I want y'all to think about this. Because we get so like in our feelings sometimes, and you know, easier said than done, I understand that. But we need to remember that there is warfare going on. You going through trial, you trying to figure out what's going on in my life. "Oh my gosh, everything is coming apart. My relationships are falling apart and this, that, and third," and whatever the case may be. But whole time, Satan is accusing you of not being faithful. which is why when you go through trials in life, it's even more important that you stay faithful to Yah. Imagine Satan accusing you of not being faithful. You go through trials and you are unfaithful to Yah. You're proving Satan right. Come on now. When I read this the first time, I'm like, wow, Satan was accusing Abraham of not being faithful, of essentially only, having faith in Yah because Yah gave him what he wanted. And Yah had more faith in Abraham. Yah had faith in Abraham. Ain't it crazy how Yah has faith in us, but for some reason we don't have faith in him? That's crazy. So let's continue reading. And again, still in Jasher, chapter 23 now. At that time, the word of Yahuwah came to Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said to him, Take now your son, your Yaqid, whom you love, even Yitzhak, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for an ascending smoke offering upon one of the mountains which shall be shown to you. For there will you see a cloud in the glory of Yahuwah. So this is Yah telling Abraham, look, I got an assignment for you. I need you to go sacrifice Isaac. Go ahead, do that ASAP. I need you to do that. And what does Abraham do? Does Abraham question, oh, well, why God? Why do I got to do this? Why got to do that? What for? For what reason? Did he do all that? No, he didn't. Abraham was obedient. And this is why it is imperative for you to be obedient. Because what you don't realize is that you are being accused of a crime you didn't commit. Satan is accusing you of a crime you did not commit. So Abraham, so Yah called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to test him, right? Which is why it's imperative for us to count it all joy when we face various trials. Now, mind you, Abraham doesn't know that this conversation was being had about him behind closed doors, essentially. All Abraham knew was that Yah came to him and said, hey, I need you to sacrifice Isaac and give him up as a smoke offering on the mountains. I'm not sure what Abraham was feeling in that moment, but it is important for us to remember that we should not allow our feelings to get in the way of us being obedient. Yah wanted Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Yah told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac was the promise that Yah gave to Abraham. Isaac was the promise. Because remember, before Isaac, it was Ishmael. Ishmael wasn't, he was born, but the promise wasn't coming through him. It was coming through Isaac. And Isaac finally arrived on the scene. Yah finally gave Abraham the promise, that desire. And now Yah is telling Abraham to sacrifice the promise, to sacrifice the desire. So let's continue reading. So now I'm going to skip ahead to verse 25. So chapter 23, verse 25. And while Abraham was proceeding with his son Yitzhak along the road, Satan came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of a contrite ruach. And he approached Abraham and said to him, are you silly or brutish that you go to do this thing to your Yaqid? For Elohim gave you a son in your latter days, in your old age. And will you go and slaughter him this day because he committed no violence? And will you cause the soul of your Yaqid to perish from the earth? Do you not know and understand that this thing cannot be from Yahuwah? For Yahuwah cannot do unto man such evil upon earth to say to him, go slaughter your child. And Abraham heard this and knew that it was the word of Satan, who endeavored to draw him aside from the way of Yahuwah. But Abraham would not hearken to the voice of Satan, and Abraham rebuked him so that he went away. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of what I want to say with this passage, y'all notice how Satan transformed himself into a human being? I think we skipped over that part, so let me read it again. Satan came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of a contrite ruach. And he approached Abraham and said to him, you know, are you silly? Are you brutish? Et cetera, et cetera. Satan transforms himself as an angel of light, right? Satan transformed himself into a whole human being, an unsuspecting human being at that, because it was a very old man, an elderly person, right? And what do we think of, like, you know, like the elderly? Oh, innocent, you know, wouldn't hurt a fly. Very unsuspecting. And Satan was asking Abraham these questions. Are you silly? Are you brutish? Would Yah really tell you to do that? Would Yah really tell you to go sacrifice your child? Who did Satan do this to in Genesis? He did it to Eve. But he was in the form of a serpent. Come on, y'all. So Satan transformed himself into a serpent. And now in this passage, he transformed himself into a human being. I ain't trying to get all, well, I ain't going to call it a conspiracy theory, because I don't think it ain't no conspiracy theory. It's facts. But when people, you know, they be talking about shape shifting and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, this is in the Bible, right? And what's in the Bible is true, right? And we just read that Satan transformed himself into a human being to try to distract Abraham. Right? And the crazy thing is, Satan was trying to get Abraham to not sacrifice Isaac. He was trying to get Abraham to turn away, to not sacrifice the desire, to not sacrifice the promise. Mind you, it was Satan who was accusing Abraham that he wasn't going to do it. Come on. It was Satan who said, man, Abraham ain't going to do that. He's not going to sacrifice his son. And then when Abraham was showing he was about that life, Satan was coming around making Abraham, or trying to get Abraham the question. Did God really say that? Huh? Would he really tell you to sacrifice your child? Satan is so crafty. And he will make you question, did God really say that? He will accuse you. And then when you really bought that life, he'll try to get you to not do the thing, to not give up that desire, to not give up that promise. Because if Abraham stopped and said, you know what, you know, well, he ain't gonna say Satan because it's an old man. If Abraham would have stopped and said, you know what, old man, you're right. This is crazy. Let me turn back around and go home. And never, like, moved forward with sacrificing Isaac, Satan would have won. Satan would have been successful in his accusations. You would have been found guilty. You was innocent, but you would have been found guilty because he was able to distract you and get you to turn away from what Yah called you to do, which was to sacrifice the promise, sacrifice the desire. Satan was trying to essentially just set Abraham up for the okie doke, but Abraham wasn't going for it. So let's continue reading. Verse 29. And Satan returned and came to Yitzhak, and he appeared unto Yitzhak in the figure of a young man, comely and well favored. And he approached Yitzhak and said unto him, do you not know and understand that your old silly father brings you to the slaughter this day for naught? Now, therefore, my son, do not listen nor attend to him, for he is a silly old man. And let not your precious soul and beautiful figure be lost from the earth. And Yitzhak heard this and said unto Abraham, have you heard, my father, that which this man has spoken? Even thus has he spoken. And Abraham answered his son Isaac and said to him, take heed of him and do not listen to his words, nor attend to him, for he is Satan, endeavoring to draw us aside this day from the commands of Elohim. So here we have Satan trying to distract Abraham, but Abraham ain't going for it. Now he's trying to distract Isaac. And he's telling Isaac, hey, look, fam, your father, he is a silly old man. He's a little crazy. And he's trying to sacrifice you. What's going on with that? So Isaac went back to his father and told him what happened. And Abraham told Isaac, don't listen to that man. That's Satan. He's trying to distract us from the commands of Elohim. Right? Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I was Isaac in that situation, I don't know. Oh, and by the way, let me add this. Because, mind you, this is in the Sefer. This is in the book of Jasher. You're not going to find this in like the New King James Version. You're going to find this in the Sefer or like a Bible with the Apocrypha in it. This is just a quick reminder that Isaac was not a young boy. He was grown. He was older. Because sometimes I feel like the church make it seem like Isaac was like a young child. This man was grown. This was grown folk business that was going on. I just wanted to add that. I just felt like that was a little detail I wanted to add, because it made it seem like Isaac was just a young boy. I mean, you still kind of feel sorry for him, but you know what's going on behind closed doors. So you understand the context, but you know, Isaac was grown. He wasn't a young child being sacrificed, mind you. Just wanted to add that. So let's continue reading. And we are in verse 34. And Abraham still rebuked Satan, and Satan went from them. And seeing he could not prevail over them, he hid himself from them, and he went and passed before them in the road. And he transformed himself to a large brook of water in the road. And Abraham and Yitzhak and his two young men reached that place, and they saw a brook large and powerful as the mighty waters. And they entered the brook and passed through it, and the waters at first reached their legs. And they went deeper in the brook, and the waters reached up to their necks, and they were all terrified on account of the water. And while they were going over the brook, Abraham recognized that place, and he knew there was no water there before. And Abraham said to his son Yitzhak, I know this place, in which there was no brook nor water. Now, therefore, it is this Satan who does all this to us, to draw us aside this day from the commands of Elohim. And Abraham rebuked him and said unto him, Yahuwah rebuke you, O Satan, be gone from us, for we go by the commands of Elohim. And Satan was terrified at the voice of Abraham, and he went away from them, and the place again became dry land as it was at first. Y'all, Satan transformed himself into a large body of water. He transformed himself into nature to try and distract Abraham and Yitzhak or Isaac, to try to distract them and make them turn away. And Abraham's two servants, which if you read the book, it was Ishmael. And then, Ishmael was on this journey too with them. And then their servant, but you know, get you to Sefer, read the book of Jasher for yourself. Now, I can't read everything. This would be a 5-hour long podcast if I read every scripture. That's why I'm kind of like, you know, reading the parts that I'm trying to make a point. But yeah, so it was Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael was on this journey too. And then it was Abraham's servant. So all four of them was going through the body of water until Abraham realized, hey, this don't look familiar. This body of water wasn't here before. This must be Satan. I'm still stuck on the fact that Satan transformed himself into a body of water. Let's start there. And he was trying to distract Abraham and Isaac and everybody else to turn away. But Abraham recognized that it was Satan, rebuked Satan in the name of Yahuwah. And guess what? Satan was terrified of the voice of Abraham and he fled. Satan transformed himself into a serpent. He transformed himself into a human being, and he transformed himself into nature, into a body of water in this instance. You know, I'm not surprised why people from like other cultures or, you know, like sometimes these indigenous cultures, why they be worshiping like the trees and stuff like that. I mean, if Satan can transform himself into a body of water, I wouldn't be surprised if he can transform himself into a tree and you just like, hey, yo, that tree was not there yesterday. What's going on? That's a little scary when you think about it. That's kind of wild. But Satan was doing everything in his power to distract them and to get them to not follow the commands of Elohim. Satan was trying to get them to do everything that he wanted them to do in order to for them to be found guilty in his eyes. Satan was trying to prove Yah wrong because, again, Yahuwah said, oh, Abraham, he's upright. He's a moral man. He's one of my people. And Satan went out of his way to try and prove that Abraham was not. Satan was trying to prove Yah to be a liar. And it was because Abraham recognized, A, that old man, that's not an old man, that's Satan. A, this body of water wasn't here before. This body of water is Satan. Come on now. Abraham is the epitome of discerning spirits, because I don't know if your girl would have been able to, you know, me being in a body of water, get my hair wet. That probably would have sent me home. I don't know. But Abraham, in this instance, is the epitome of what it means to have discernment. Because when you start transforming yourself into a person, into nature, into animals, yeah, Satan was determined. So let's fast forward a bit, and we're going to jump to where in the story Abraham finally, you know, gets to his destination, and now he's building like an altar. And he's going to put Isaac on it as a sacrifice. So let's jump to that part in the story. Okay, so boom, we are at the part where, yeah, I'm going to read this verse 69. At that time, Yahuwah appeared unto Abraham and called to him from heaven and said unto him, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear Elohim in performing this act, and in not withholding your son, your kid, from me. So, of course, this is where Abraham has built the altar and he's putting Isaac upon the altar and he's about to sacrifice Isaac. And then Yahuwah steps in and says, stop. Now I know that you fear me. Now I know that, you know, you are not withholding your son from me. You are not withholding the promise from me. You are not withholding this desire from me. You're willing to sacrifice it, right? So verse 70, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. That was the ram which Yahuwah Elohim had created in the earth in the day that he made earth and heaven. For Yahuwah had prepared this ram from that day to be an ascending smoke offering instead of Yitzhak. And this ram was advancing to Abraham when Satan caught hold of him and entangled his horns in the thicket, that he might not advance to Abraham, in order that Abraham might slay his son. And Abraham, seeing the ram advancing to him and Satan withholding him, fetched him and brought him before the altar, and he loosened his son Yitzhak from his binding, and he put the ram in his stead. And Abraham killed the ram upon the altar and brought it up as an offering in the place of his son Yitzhak. So I'm going to let that marinate for a second. Right before Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, Yahuwah stepped in and said, don't do it, basically. Now I know that you fear Elohim. Now that I know you're willing to, you know, to give up the promise. You're not withholding the promise. You're not withholding the desire from me, right? And check this out. I'm not sure if y'all caught this, because I'm just catching this now, actually. Yah had prepared a ram that was going to take Isaac's place, but he didn't prepare the ram the same day. It wasn't a same day delivery. Yahuwah had prepared the ram when he created the earth and heaven. So you're probably like, okay, well, what does this mean? Before Yahuwah even came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I need you to sacrifice your son for me, an act of obedience. Before he even came to Abraham, the ram that was going to take Isaac's spot was already prepared. Yah already knew since the beginning of time that Abraham wasn't going to go through with sacrificing Isaac, not because Abraham wasn't obedient, because Abraham showed in his actions that he was obedient. It wasn't because of that. It's because Yah already knew that Satan, Yah already knew Satan was going to accuse Abraham. And Yah said, hey, you know, oh Lord, this is, yeah. Satan went to God and said, I bet you Abraham not going to give up that promise you gave him, i.e. Isaac. And God said, I bet you he will. He's upright. He's one of my men. And Satan said, okay, let's see. God told Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac. Abraham didn't ask no questions. And in an act of obedience, he went on his way to go sacrifice Isaac. Satan was the one trying to get Abraham to stop, to turn away from following God's commandments, which was to sacrifice Isaac. But he was unsuccessful. Abraham is finally at the place. Isaac is on the altar, ready to be sacrificed, in obedience to what Yah had told Abraham to do. So Abraham is in obedience right now. And Yah said, stop. Now I know that you about that life. This was a test, essentially. Now I know that you will not withhold from me. Now I know that you fear me, that you fear my commandments, and you have faith in me more than you have faith in the promise, more than you have faith in your desire. Oh, and by the way, I have a ram for you that's going to take place of Isaac. So you don't have to sacrifice Isaac. I have a ram for you. Oh, and just to add, that ram was created when I created the earth. So before you even got here, before you were even created, the ram was created. This whole situation actually just makes Satan look silly. And you want to know the crazy thing? Did I even read that part? I think I had read that part. Yeah. You want to know the crazy thing? The ram that Yah created since the beginning, since he created the earth, the ram was entangled in the horns. The ram had entangled his horns in the thicket of the bush. It was Satan trying to prevent the ram. Y'all, I hope I'm not confusing nobody. I hope y'all catching this. It was Satan trying to prevent the ram from popping up. It was Satan who I believe he transformed himself into like a bush that caught the ram. The ram was galloping away. He was on his way. Yah had told that ram since the beginning since the beginning, when he created the earth, hey, on this day, at this time, at this location, you gonna pop up. And guess what the ram did? Exactly what God commanded it to do. But guess what Satan did? Tried to stop the ram. Tried to stop God's plan. He tried, as in unsuccessful. He tried, as in unsuccessful. Satan was looking real foolish. And guess what? Abraham used the ram, didn't sacrifice Isaac, and the ram was used in placement of Isaac. In that offering, Yah accepted the ram as the offering. You want to know what I got from this story? And, you know, you might have got different things. But what I got from this was sometimes when you go through trials, this is why we should count it all joy. Count it joy that when you go through trials, because Satan is accusing you behind closed doors that you're not about that life. And Yah is saying, oh no, my daughter is about that life. My son is about that life. And Satan is like, oh really? Well, let's see. This whole test, and you know, I promise y'all I get it, because sometimes I'll be going through life, I'm like, okay, all right, like, what's going on here? I ain't do nothing. Right? You're going through trials and you're just trying to figure out, goodness gracious, do we take all that? Your job isn't to question. Your job isn't to sit there and be like, you know, will God do this? Will God? Your job is to be obedient. In Abraham being obedient, he showed that Satan was a liar. In you being disobedient and turning away from the commands of Yah, what he told you to do, and you being disobedient, you're showing that God is a liar. And he's a man who shall not lie. But Satan is sitting there like, oh, okay, you think you big and bad, God, but hey, you defending this person, you saying that they innocent, but look, they not innocent. Imagine, you know, you ever like stuck up for somebody? Like seriously, perfect example. You stuck up for somebody, like, you know, somebody's accusing somebody you know of something, and you're like, yeah, you know what? No, that's not in their character. They not like that. Come to find out that the person you sticking up for was actually about that. Like, they were actually in the wrong. Now you sitting here looking dumb. And you're thinking like, man, I should never have stuck up for you. Now I'm looking crazy. We should think that when we're going through trials. You should not give Satan the satisfaction of being able to call our Messiah a liar. You shouldn't even give him the satisfaction. The fact that Yah prepared a ram when he prepared the earth before Abraham even came up on the scene. The fact that he prepared the ram when he prepared the earth means that he knew all things. You don't think that God knows Satan's going to accuse you? Your job is just to trust in him. Oh God, I'm scared of, you know, the desire. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. We should be willing to sacrifice our desire, to sacrifice our promise. You notice how the promise in this circumstance was Isaac, right? And he was about to be sacrificed. But then, you know, Yah intervened, right? And used the ram instead. We need to be willing to be able to sacrifice. Because I might use a second example where there might be situations where you have to allow that desire or that promise to die. In this circumstance, the promise didn't die. Isaac didn't die. But the fact that Abraham was willing to give up the promise show that he had more faith in Yah. He feared Yah. Abraham could have easily turned around and been like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm good. God, weren't you the one who gave me this promise in the first place? Why you asked me to sacrifice? But he didn't do that. He didn't ask no questions. He was just obedient. We need to get to that place where we're willing. If you have a desire to be married, are you willing to give that desire up? See, what a lot of us will do is we'll hold on tight and we won't let go. We'll hold on tight to the desire. We're not even willing to let the desire go. And what you are saying in your actions is that I want this desire more than I want to be obedient to Yah. You are proving Satan right in his accusation, which is when God gives us what we want, we forsake him. If you have a desire and that desire hasn't been fulfilled and you're not even willing to give it up now and it hasn't been fulfilled yet, I can only imagine how you're going to act when it does get fulfilled. So yeah, y'all, I just wanted to mention that again. The New King James Version ain't going to tell you this side of the story. That's why I promote y'all getting the CFER. Again, CFER.net. And this is in the Book of Jasher. It's a lot of things that we don't get in the New King James. And it just provides you more context, because usually when we read the story, it's just, you know, God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, go up on the mountain, and then he intervened. But we don't hear about how Satan was trying to get Abraham to turn around. We don't hear about Satan transforming himself into a bush, into a body of water, into a human being to get us to question Yah's commandments. We don't hear about that. So that's why I want to promote or just advise y'all to get the CFER. Another thing before I get into this second example that I just thought of now was how this entire story with Abraham and Isaac, it showed that Yahuwah isn't playing with our emotions. He's not playing with our feelings. Because I understand that sometimes when you do have a desire, you feel like Yah is playing with your feelings. It's like he gave you the desire and now he's telling you to give it up. You know, like sometimes you feel like your emotions are getting played with. And this whole story confirmed to me that he's not playing with our feelings. He's not going to give you a desire or promise and take it away just for fun. There is always a reason why he does what he does. It's just a matter of us getting to that point mentally and just trusting him. Because again, Satan was accusing Abraham, but Abraham didn't know this. This wasn't done in front of Abraham. This was done behind closed doors, if you will, if you want to, you know, say it like that. This wasn't done in front of Abraham. And maybe if it's not just with desires or the promises that we want God to fulfill within us, you have no clue with what you being obedient and moving in obedience can do. You have no clue that there might be people right now, maybe at your job, talking about you, accusing you behind closed doors. But because you are obedient to Yah, because you move with integrity, they're seeing you move with integrity. You are proving with your actions that they are wrong. They're accusing you of a crime and you are showing evidence that you didn't commit it. You have no idea how you just being obedient to what Yah called you to do shuts up people who are accusing you of something you didn't do. Don't underestimate how much Yah fights our battles. He's fighting battles that we don't see. You know, again, this is why we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials. It was Satan that was counting on us to hold on to our desire. When we hold on and aren't willing to let go, we are showing in our actions that we value the promise more than Yahuwah. Abraham showed that he had more faith in Yah than the promise. Abraham was willing to let go of the promise that Yahuwah told him years prior would be for him. Abraham feared Yahuwah more, and we have to be willing to let go. Now, another example I want to use, I don't know, should I wait until the next episode for that example? You know what? I'm going to wait till next episode or to another episode to use that example. Because I want to go a little bit more in depth with that. So yeah, y'all, I hope that this example in the Bible of being willing to let go of the promise and that desire, how important that is for us. That's what I'm gonna do. I was going to use another example in this episode, but I want to go a little bit more in depth, and I don't want this episode to be too long now. I want to go more in depth in with the second example, because the second example is what happens when Yah is slow to fulfill that desire, and that desire actually dies. That's what we're going to do. Yep. So stay tuned, maybe for another episode, maybe next one or two episodes from now. But we're going to get into that. I'm going to give y'all the second example. I promise you, I ain't going to leave y'all hanging. But yeah, we're going to get into what happens when your desire or a promise actually dies. Will you have faith in our Messiah still when that happens? So thank you again, y'all. I hope this was edifying. Hope this answered some questions. Hope this made you more curious into getting the Sefer and reading for yourself in the Book of Jasher. And yeah, y'all, just remember, you know, be willing to let that desire or that promise die, or be willing to, you know, sacrifice that, because you have no clue. Satan is behind closed doors trying to accuse you of a crime you ain't commit. And by your obedience and your faith in Yah and you fearing his commandments and doing what he has called you to do, you're making the enemy look crazy. So again, thanks y'all for tuning in. Until next time.